Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us, and had an unexpected blessing here this afternoon. I was able to sit in with Pastor Lutz in the previous half hour, if you were listening, and it was kind of a little bit of cross signals on my part. I filled in for him last week in his program, and I wasn't 100% sure that I was supposed to be here this week or not. And so I managed to get up here early. And so since I was here, he had me come in as a guest on his program. So I appreciate that. I would have had him stay, except I have a guest coming on here who will be joining us hopefully shortly. We will have Laverne Gore, who is a candidate for Congress in the District 11. It's for U.S. Congress. It's Ohio District 11. And that is the district that covers eastern Cuyahoga County, much of eastern Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, and going east in that direction, and then down across along 77, down through Seven Hills, Broadview Heights, into Summit County, Richfield, Bath, Fairlawn, and then into Akron. And it's an interesting district, and Laverne Gore is currently running. She is running against the incumbent, Marcia Fudge, and we'll be talking about some of those things and some of those issues there in regards to that when she's able to get called in here. But hope you had the opportunity to watch the debate, the presidential debate last night. If you didn't, you can find it online. A number of sources have it online, and you can find some of them. And very interesting, very eye-opening, and Pastor Lutz and I were talking about that a bit in the last half hour, and so there were some points that were clarified, and I agree with some people who said they don't know that it necessarily necessarily changed anybody's mind, but at the same time, they know that the people who are already set did that, but there were some people still on the fence. You'd hardly think that this close, less than 2 weeks before the election, that there'd be anybody on the fence, but there are still some people on the fence. And so do pray for the coming election, and I hope you're making plans. And as I said, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Read my article, Let Me Tell You How to Vote, and that'll give you some information there to do as I've been telling our church. Let your biblical values govern or guide how you vote. And that's important. If you are a Christian, you know, every candidate has flaws in every race. You're not going to find the perfect candidate. Jesus Christ, as they say, is not on the ballot. And if he was, there's a lot of people who would find fault with him one way or another. And so what you want is to try to find the one who looks like he would best support your values and accomplish the things that you value. I don't know about you, but I am pro-life. I am pro-Israel. I am pro-family. And I am pro First Amendment and Second Amendment rights. Those are rights that are not given to us by the Constitution, but recognized by the Constitution as our inherent rights given to us, our unalienable rights given to us by our Creator. I plan to vote for candidates that will uphold those things. If there's something more important to you than innocent life, then maybe President Trump's strong pro-life position isn't appealing to you. Maybe if you're somebody who doesn't think that the biblical command or promise that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel applies today, and that's not as important as whether or not we reduce the pay of first responders down to a minimum wage of $15 an hour, then you can vote accordingly. And I actually carefully said what I just said, because if you were watching the debate last night, Joe Biden suggested that first responders should be paid a minimum wage of $15 an hour. Now, I was talking to my wife and several other people. We had some people at our house we were watching, and my wife is an RN. One of the ladies that was there has been a paramedic in the past, and I've got relatives who are have been police officers and people I know who've been first responders, and I don't know any first responders that get minimum wage. You know, I'm not sure what the average starting salary of first responders are, but I think most first responders are probably making $20 or more an hour. If I'm wrong, somebody can correct me with the figures there, but why would you want to take somebody that's making 20 or more dollars an hour and reduce them to $15 an hour? That's what Joe Biden said last night. You know, I don't know. I should have probably, if I thought about this, I would have looked up what is the starting rate for first responders, maybe in the Richfield Village where I live, see what their pay scale is. But I think the starting rate is more than the minimum wage or more than $15 an hour. So, well, if Joe Biden wants to reduce the pay, that goes along, I guess, with his support of Black Lives Matter and Antifa and their calls to defund police departments. Police departments are certainly first responders as well. But with that in mind, we need to be informed, and there's plenty of sources online. You can go to ohioca.org, that's ohioca.org, and you can download their voter guide that's there, and that will give you some good balanced information on a number of people that are there. You can also go to, I believe it's ivoterguide.com, that's ivoterguide.com, and that will give you the option of being able to put in your zip code, and that will bring you up a list of things down to your state thing. I think it might even hit your county races and judges and things. I just called it up right here, ivoterguide.com, and so you can find some things there about candidates and things, and like I said, you can click on your state, you can enter your zip code there, and that will give you some good information. Here's for zip code 44123, and you click on the ballot, and this gives you, I believe this is Garfield Heights, and this gives you the comparison between the various candidates for president right here. Joe Biden, and according to his, they got a neat little, looks kind of like a gauge with the needle and like your speedometer or something. And he's listed as very liberal. And of course, Kamala Harris also listed as very liberal. And then here's the libertarian candidate for president, Jo Jorgensen. And she is listed as moderate along with her vice presidential running mate, Jeremy Cohen. Jeremy Spike Cohen. Now, wouldn't that be interesting to have a vice president named Spike? And it's just an interesting sound. But he's listed as a moderate. And then here's Donald Trump, of course, running as a Republican candidate. He's listed as conservative. And Mike Pence listed as very conservative. And then, of course, here in the U.S. Representative District 11, we've got Marsha Fudge, the Democrat incumbent, listed as very liberal, and Laverne Gore, the Republican challenger, listed as somewhat conservative. Now, she's not been in office to make any sign any bills, put forth any legislation, but I'm sure when we talk with her, you'll see that probably she should go more to the conservative side than just somewhat conservative, but I'll let her speak for herself there a little bit later. But again, here's Judges, and the Judges, they do something a little bit different here at iVoterGuide.com. Instead of conservative versus moderate or liberal, they have things ranging from judicial activist to originalist, and Sharon Kennedy, who is running for the Ohio Supreme Court as a Republican, she's listed as a proven originalist. And then John O'Donnell, who is the Democrat running for the Ohio Supreme Court, is listed as a judicial activist, and as is Jennifer Bruner, also running for the Supreme Court Justice here in Ohio, and a judicial activist, and Judith French, also running as a Republican, as an originalist. And so these are just the things that you can get an idea of where these people fall in their running. Here's another one, State Board of Education, District 5, Christina Collins, nonpartisan, as a liberal rating. And Lisa Woods, this is a nonpartisan race. She's running. She has a conservative rating. And on, there's more there. We're not going to go through all of them. But I want to encourage you, take advantage of these things so that you can tell who you're voting for and what you're voting for. And be an informed voter when you go into the polling place. And of course, a lot of people have voted already. And if you voted already, be sure and encourage others to go vote. And I've had some reports of different people who voted in person, Summit County, Cuyahoga County. In some cases, they've had to wait. Some cases, they've not had to wait. It just depends on when you get there. But let me encourage you, vote in person. And if you can vote on Election Day in your precinct, that's all the best. But be sure to get out and take the time to cast a ballot and let your voice be heard. You know, Christians, we're called to be salt and light in the world, and we've talked about this in the past, and salt preserves and it flavors, and that's what we're supposed to do to society. Light also disinfects, and it brightens up and reveals things, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to let our light shine. Jesus said, let our light shine, and not to put it under a basket. And so when we let that light shine, we hopefully are letting the light of Christ shine through us. And that's what, as Christians, we should do with our vote. We should be voting for people who are going to uphold Christian values. Well, I was looking at a couple of things that we had going on here, and as soon as I can get my computer to back up to where I would like it to be, we were talking about different things that were said in the debate last night, and we will get to Laverne Gore on hopefully here in a few minutes when she calls in. But there are a number of things that were made, comments that were made during the debate last night, and I do appreciate the civil tone that it had for the most part, but we do need to remember that the person who gets elected as president is going to sit in that office for the next 4 years, Lord willing, and barring the Lord's return or barring something else, but we're electing them for 4 years. And, you know, when we look at this, I'm thankful to be able to see some things that President Trump has done. And under his administration, the United States has just done something that I think most Christians, if you're a born-again believer and you believe that God thinks it's an abomination, those the hands that shed innocent blood is an abomination, the United States, along with 31 other nations, just signed a declaration that says, quote, there is no international right to abortion. Now, take that in contrast with what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been saying. They are the most pro-death ticket probably ever, and they're both saying that They want abortion to be preserved. They want people to be able to abort their child up until the very end. In some cases, some of their companions want abortion after birth. Well, that's not abortion. That's infanticide. Remember the governor of Virginia who claimed that the baby should be allowed to be born and then set aside while the parents and the doctor decide whether or not to keep it. And if they decide not to keep it, then they'll abort it. No, they're not going to abort it. They're going to kill it. It's called infanticide. Abortion and infanticide are both killing, taking of a life. And when the baby has been born, it's infanticide. When the baby has not been born, it's abortion. But it's killing a baby in either case. Of course, Biden and Harris, they believe that that should be preserved up until the moment, if not after the baby is born. But President Trump, Vice President Pence, arguably one of the most, probably the most pro-life administration that we've ever seen, and they have come together. They signed the Geneva, under their leadership, the United States has signed the Geneva Consensus Declaration that upholds the importance of women's health and states there's no global right to abortion. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said, at its very core, the declaration protects women's health, defends the unborn, and reiterates the vital importance of the family as the foundation of society. And then we have Alex Azar, who's the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services. He said the declaration is much more than a statement of beliefs. It is a critical and useful tool to defend these principles across all United Nations bodies and at every multilateral setting, using language previously agreed to by member states of those bodies. And this event was co-sponsored by Brazil, Egypt, Hungary, Indonesia, Uganda, and the United States. And there are 32 people who have signed this bill. Don't go through all the names here, but this is exciting. Now, this is a product of having an administration, a president, and a vice president that are profoundly pro-life in office. This likely would not have been signed under a Biden-Harris administration, or as Kamala Harris has said, a Harris-Biden administration. This would not have been signed likely under that type of an administration because they don't believe this. And Kamala Harris, in the vice presidential debate with Vice President Mike Pence, she defended the woman's right to do whatever she wants with her body. It's her body, it's her choice, it's her right, is what she was saying. Now, think about this for a minute. Let's do a thought experiment here. A woman has, for their genetic complement, the XX chromosome pair. They don't have a Y chromosome. An XY chromosome pair is what males have. Men have the XY chromosome. Now, if a woman is pregnant and she's carrying an unborn child, and the unborn child is male, the woman, her body has the XX chromosome. The male child carried within her body has the XY chromosome complement. Clearly, there's a difference there. Now, I'm purposely using a male child rather than a female child to illustrate the difference, but there's a unique difference between a female child being carried by the mother, just as there is with the male child. But for the purpose of our thought experiment here, there's no way that you can say that that body with the XY chromosome pair is the woman's body. Because it's not a woman's body, it's a male body. Now, that male body is dependent on that woman for sustenance, for protection, for its ability to live and grow. And it's carried within the woman. When the child is born, the baby is now carried without the woman, on the outside of the woman. She carries the baby in her arms. She carries the baby in a baby carrier, maybe one of those little things that they kind of strap on that kind of snuggles them up against them, and they carry them that way, or they carry them in a carriage on their arm. We've all seen women carrying babies like that, and that little baby is still dependent on its mother for sustenance and for protection, and so that it can live and grow. Anybody see a newborn baby go out on its own and find its own food, fix its own dinner, and go out and earn a living? No, that baby is still dependent on its mother. Now, it's not directly tied to the mother once it's born and the umbilical cord has been cut. It's no longer tied to the mother. So it's just a matter of position. The male body is either within the woman's womb or outside. In either case, it's not the woman's body. When Kamala Harris says, my body, my choice, that's not her body. So what happens when you have a conflict between the interests of one unique individual, the female, the woman who is the mother, and another distinct, unique individual, the unborn child? How do we know how to govern or regulate what happens there? Well, society, through our laws, have made laws and regulations on what needs to be done. Now, we see it very clearly. If the baby is born, the woman is not allowed to abuse that child. That's against the law. She's supposed to take care of that child. It's neglect if she doesn't. But when that child is within her body, somehow she's now exempt from having to take care of that child just because it's within her body rather than without her body. Again, it's just a difference in location when you think about it. It's still a unique individual. And as I said, I use the example of a male child because the chromosome complement XY is clearly different than that of the mother, which is XX. But even if it was a female child, it would make no difference because it's still a unique human being. It's got a different genetic code for its hair color. It's got a different genetic code probably for its eye color. It may have a different genetic code that the mother may be able to roll her tongue into over and into a tube, and the baby can't because it doesn't have the muscles coded for that the mother did. Maybe when the baby's born, its earlobes will hang free where the mother's earlobes were attached all the way down the side. There's any number of differences because when at the moment of conception, half of the DNA comes from the father, half of the DNA comes from the mother, and it is a unique combination. I've heard some people say and estimate that the total number of possible combinations of DNA, half from the mother, half from the father, exceeds the number of known stars in the universe. It's a unique human being. Doesn't that human being deserve life? Doesn't that human being deserve protection? Well, I hear the music and we're running out of time, and unfortunately, I guess Laverne was unable to call in to be with us today. She's a busy person, but let me encourage you to go to her website, LaverneGoreForCongress.com. That's Laverne Gore for Congress. Laverne is Laverne, Laverne Gore, G-O-R-E, then the number 4, and then Congress. Laverne Gore, the number 4, LaverneGoreForCongress.com. Check out her positions on life. Check out her positions on the the issues that you're interested in as a believer, as a concerned citizen.
To Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.